Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Something Wrong with the Podcast. This is episode 37. It's your boy, Julian. We're back. It's a late recording for me. This might be the latest I've began a recording before a release. I'm recording this at midnight, 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but for good reason, guys. I had the good pleasure and fortune of going to a Doja Cat release party. Yes, her album came out last weekend, which I'll get into in a hot second. But I'm assuming she was in L.A. I don't know. I didn't ask her directly where she was for the release party. I'm assuming she was in L.A., but she just did a release party in Monday night, with YouTube here in New York City. And I went with a dear friend of mine who is very good friends with her manager. Great guy, great team. The event was very cool. It was at Mercer Labs here in New York City. They have projectors all over the wall. I'll put up some video here that you can see the event itself. And they had some fans that YouTube was able to bring in and curate with like an open bar situation. And then, you know, I love the good people over at Mercer Labs. After a while, and the event ended, everybody left. And it was a private, became a private event. There were about 50 of us in there. Doja came back from upstairs and the party just went on. It was disco music. We're dancing, grinding. There's rose petals all over the ground, projector lights all over the walls, a beautiful Tessarossa Ferrari from 1988 in the middle of the display, covered in these red roses that people are Doja Cat's jumping on, dancing on, and everybody just having a good time. And I'm not a chase tonight, let's go out warrior anymore these days. The younger me would have been on a tailspin for that, chasing that rabbit. But I had a couple Negronis, hung out with some good people, met some new friends, and it was a beautiful night. And the magic of New York on a Monday night can be something special that is never lost on me. And this is coming from someone that had taken quite a bit of time away from the industry and events and just leaning into my apartment, my home, and my family and my friends. But it felt really, really good to be back out and expand my friend group and network. And it's always nice when the crowdsourcing and the YouTube audience was in there, the fans, I want to say, of Doja Cat. Some of them were familiar with who I was and came up to me and spoke. It was so nice to just like talk to people. And this one guy was like, "Hey man, like excited for your episode tomorrow." And I was like, "Jesus, dude, you just reminded me. I got to go home and record." So it's very funny to have interactions like that. I love that level of fluidity between myself and anybody that consumes this content. So I want to thank Mercer Labs, Doja Cat, and her whole team. Also, admittedly, I hadn't up to this point listened to her album in full. I listened to it obviously at the event tonight, but also I'm a city biker. I took a city bike home. I was listening to it the whole way home. Doja puts out incredible music. She is an underrated female MC. I think the fault, if you're gonna, it's not even a fault, maybe even be the wrong word to use. I feel like she gets deduction points because she makes such also great pop music that people don't take her seriously as a rapper. Doja Cat can rap her fucking ass off, but this album is so soulful. There's a lot of jazz elements to it, but she's still giving you some incredible lyrics. That she's an incredible artist, beautiful in person, what a great event. I thank everybody that that welcomed me into that space tonight. Staying on music, Bad Bunny is got the headline spot for the Super Bowl. To no surprise, the Super Bowl is in the Bay Area this year. And as projected, Bad Bunny was announced as the headliner this year, coming off the heels of one Kendrick Lamar. And of course, right-wing people are in a frenzy. It seems like every time something that has to do with Puerto Rico comes up, right-wing grifters need to be reminded that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. And just to put this out there as well, you guys are currently on a mission to acquire Greenland as well. So get used to the cultural term of a territory, because it is, it's very much, it's a part of the country. Sorry that the people there have a little bit of darker skin and have more flair and culture and eat spice on their food. Like, get the fuck over it. The Puerto Rico is a beautiful, beautiful place. It's also a U.S. territory. They are a part of us. They're not ours. It's not possessive in the sense that we're better than them or greater than them. They are just a part of who we are, and they are very much a part of the U.S. identity. And I'm so happy that Benito was given the honor of performing at the Super Bowl, and I think it is pretty fucking awesome. I know so many people from the in the greater, we call them the flyover states, but middle America, the more right-leaning people are upset because we went from Kendrick Lamar to now, and there was the Kendrick crowd was like, hey, who wants to hear this woogie boogie rap music? And then people were like, well, wait till you get the Bad Bunny Super Bowl, and you know what? Here it comes. And this is coming from someone that I don't really listen to Bad Bunny's music casually. In my own space, in my apartment, when I'm alone, but when I'm out, he's played everywhere, and it's incredible, and I'm so excited. I mean, there's no better atmosphere to listen to his music than in a big stadium. I had the great privilege of seeing him in at Made in America years ago. I took that video of Ed and Maul dancing to Bad Bunny together. That performed really well online, but it was a fun moment at the time. But the set design, the crowd swell, and mind you, he was the headliner. Tyler Swift, Tyler the Creator, was the opener for Bad Bunny at Made in America that year, and it was truly, it seemed like he had all of Philadelphia and Puerto Rico. There's a lot of cheese sticks and tacos in the crowd. It was one of the best performances live I've ever seen. And I think that's the beauty of music. I feel like people put so much stock into familiarity when it comes to music, but so much of good music derives from the atmosphere that's created and the vibe that's created from the performer themselves. To bring up Doja Cat again, like, I obviously am familiar with her music, but a lot of the music I heard tonight, I wasn't too familiar with, but I'm like seeing her move around and just kind of like hang out, dance, and just like bring the energy. You don't need to know the lyrics. You don't need to feel like you are a master of the content to appreciate good art. I feel like that is honestly a conversation worth having. That I feel like there's, especially in the climate that we're in, where when something in the news happens or there's something in the music happens, we have to be the expert on that thing. And if you don't have the best opinion, or if you can't tell us about the history of this part of the country, or from this artist's inception from here until now, then you're an idiot and you should never talk about music and you should shut the fuck up. I don't like the policing of intelligence in this community, which can certainly is far more applicable into the political spectrum, which I'm happy to say in this episode, I really don't care to talk about politics. I just had such a fun night. I'm just here to vibe. Your boy is just like, I'm still sweaty from last night, guys. Like, I am. There's a reason why I'm in all black. I mean, truthfully, I'm in the outfit that I wore out. I got these beautiful black pleated pants on. I'm going to stand up real quick. You can't really see them like that. You know how I do to lay is clean. Boys, I'm a little drenched. I still got the wristband on from tonight. I mean, that's a little like unnecessary. Oh, it says Doja Cat on it. Oh, it says YouTube X Doja Cat. It's very cute. Did not know what that said all night. Like, this is, look, I'm talking directly to everybody listening right now. It's political unrest. The country's spiraling out. Is democracy over? We don't know. Have we given it a fair shake? Historians would say yes. Others would argue this is crazy, the state they're at. And I would agree with arguments could be made for both sides of how people feel about the current state of the climate. It is awful. And I'm not saying none of it's important and we should ignore it. Greta Thunberg's probably going to die in a few days. Knock on all types of wood. I mean, it's a tragic place. But I want to focus and spend time, and had the Charlie Kirk incident not happened, I would just continue to do this. on music and on things that are a little more lighthearted, because life is heavy, and it's really tough to care and lend empathy towards the world when your own life is always in a spiral as well. Not to say that necessarily applies to me, nor is that me saying that I got everything figured out. Life is golden. But I will say, like, for the first time in a while, life is good for me. It's steady. And good in the sense of, like, security. Not good in the sense that, like, I'm emotionally perfect and my relationships with everybody that I know are perfect. I'm always working on those things. But I was actually had a great phone call with my brother today. It was a heavy phone call, which it's not one to get into here, but great in the sense that on that call, I told him I had the feeling that when I got certain things in my life figured out, more so financially than other parts of my life, relationships with him, relationship with other people would fall into place, would follow suit. Because once I don't have to worry about my finances and everything is golden financially, then, you know, life just gets better. Everything else just becomes better. And then I remember my mom years ago telling me, he's like, Julian, the longer you build up bad habits, whether it's, you know, with at the time, like years ago, I'm talking like 7 years ago, substances or women or what have you, all you're doing is compounding those, addiction is a heavy word, but you're compounding those bad behaviors that the longer that they go on, the harder it will become to unlearn those behaviors. And at the time when I was young, 24 or 25, I was ignoring that thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, I know this will all absolve itself when I am comfortable financially. By no means am I saying that I am at this moment. I'm much far better than I was at that point in my life. But comparatively, you would think that I'd be better off with those things. But lo and behold, mom's right. And I am now addressing those things in my life to become a better person that I had once shelved and assumed that when other things would change in my life, that those things would also follow. Lo and behold, that is not the case. And I'm focusing so heavy on that. This is a random detour. I don't want to get too off the rails here. I want to focus more still on the music at hand. Bad Bunny, congratulations. I'm super excited to see the Super Bowl. I know he's getting his back kicked in because the left and, like, just liberal-leaning people can't just celebrate the fact that this is happening. They, of course, have to point fingers and vilify anybody for every chance that they get. Because unlike the right, the left is always, I would argue, and this is what I said with my mom, the left is a police state in the sense that the left wants to cancel people and it wants to find the flaws in decisions that people make to get them the fuck out of the paint, which is really stupid in a climate where we're losing people day by day, week after week. And let me clarify. So Bad Bunny getting announced led some people to say, Mr. Bunny, doing shows, canceling all your shows domestically, but doing the Super Bowl is a choice, as if we should just pile on because he's choosing to sell out for the corporate entity that is the Super Bowl for Apple Music in the NFL. And I'm not saying that argument can't be made, but it's like, know who you're attacking. Like, know what's at risk when you pin someone like Bad Bunny on the dark side, so to speak. That's the wrong person to come after. Bad Bunny has been vocal about his stance, and what's awesome about him, this is again, Bad Bunny is Puerto Rican, it's American territory, he's American passport. He is aware that the music that he makes and the audience that he draws, a lot of people that may be not, that do not have passports or not registered or illegal Spanish speaking people, listen to his music, go to his shows. He stopped touring domestically because his shows were becoming like mini ICE raids, like ICE parades, basically, I should say, where, hey, Bad Bunny's coming to Milwaukee. Guess who's all going to be there? Oh, Bad Bunny's going to Tulsa. Guess who all going to be there? All the Spanish people speaking in this community. And as anybody with a heart or with empathy and that wasn't prioritizing the dollar over the betterment of the people that consume their music, he said, nah, fuck this. I'm done touring here. And then obviously had the conversation with Apple, with Jay, and was given the bid for the Super Bowl. I don't fault him at all for taking the Super Bowl bid. I think it's smart of him. And for those that are criticizing him, the Super Bowl isn't like some bullshit, you know, honky-tonk show in the middle of nowhere. Not to say that any of his shows are. He's a fucking, like, arena stadium artist. But this is like, people have it misconstrued. The Super Bowl is a corporate event. Like, this is basically a company party. This is like the NFL's prom. Like, he's not doing a show. Like, yes, people will be more incentivized to go to the show knowing that he's a performer. But, I mean, as much as I hate ticket prices and the insane rate at which they sell for on the resale market, maybe in this small instance, in this specific case, it's a good thing. Because most people will be so priced out. Look at the NFL. Look at the Super Bowl. Look at last year with Kendrick's show. Who was in that crowd? It's just all white people in that crowd. Like, the NFL is such a white-dominated sport. And I'm complaining. But I'm saying if the argument is to be made that because Bad Bunny is performing at the halftime, then in fact he's putting a lot of people in danger, or that's a hypocritical thing for him to do based on how he's been vocal about other things. You shouldn't do this because you're taking NFL money and they're bad people. Yeah, two things we do. The NFL can fucking blow ass. Fuck the NFL. The people that are at the helm of the NFL, fuck them. But you know what? There's a respect there for Jay-Z and the people that are in charge of this one specific part of that industry. And Bad Bunny is doing... it's an honor to do this show. It's history. He's making history doing this show. And I totally think that he should continue to do so and take on this endeavor and fucking relish the moment. It's going to be an incredible show. I really don't like the constant policing and casting of judgment on somebody where, like, if he did 50 shows throughout this country, it'd be 50 mini ICE raids. We have to stop pretending like the Super Bowl falls into that category. It's the fucking Super Bowl. It's not a random show. Like, there's going to be so much that goes into this. The pricing of this alone, just kind of like, it all averages itself out. He's not the bad guy. And I'm really, really looking forward to the show. And I'm happy that, Rock Nation and the NFL are still, considering the cultural climate, pushing in a direction of diversity. Like, it's insane that we can't even celebrate that. We want to kick in his back for doing this because of statements that he previously made. How about the fact that we went from Kendrick Lamar to, you know, Bad Bunny? I think that's incredible. We had a bunch of complaints last year. What do most people do? Especially on this level, on this scale, when people complain, they swing back the other way and they go country, or they'll go a whole different sound to please a different demo that they may have neglected that previous year. But that's not what Rock Nation did. It's not what Jay-Z and them decided to do, or Roger Goodell. We have to remember Roger Goodell signing off on every fucking single thing that happens. So Roger Goodell is also acutely aware that Bad Bunny is the right person for the job. So it's really dope to see in this current climate where things are so heavy, restoring white America, the push to the far right, excusing every, you know, misstep of that facet of the country, that the NFL, as much as I do not want to give them credit, they're still swinging and taking chances and are putting people, minority people, in charge of their biggest show. So congrats to them. I'm really excited to mumble my Spanish and pretend I know what the hell's going on. But shout out Benito. In other news, I've been on my movie grind. To no surprise, I saw Caught Stealing this week. The film that is Zoe Kravitz's film with Austin Butler. I won't spoil the film. It was cute. It was cheeky. I was texting a friend of mine who works in film about this. We talk about movies a lot. And my synopsis was, like, I feel like they hammered they really wanted to make Austin Butler to look cool, as if they had to sell that he's cool. They made him work at a bar. He's ripping shots, and this is the opening scene. He's ripping shots, working at a bar, and Zoe Kravitz pulls up, shows her tits in the first 2 minutes of the film. No complaints. Great nipple piercing. She looks fantastic. And then they go back into his apartment, and he lifts her up on the wall, like in the entrance, and this like poor elderly old black woman walks by and goes, "Go upstairs, get a room." And they are aggressively making out and basically fucking in the apartment foyer. It's called a foyer. It's insane. It's just a hallway. And they just, like, you know, he's hot. He's strong. He's got the hot girl. They have, like, this insanely long, passionate, like, sex scene that's just like, all right, we get it. The guy fucks. And he used to throw a baseball. He wears his San Francisco Giants hat that he won't take off, which you find out becomes, like, a running thing throughout the film, that he was a former baseball player, got in a bad accident that defines who he is as a person. He has this, like, come-to-Jesus moment that he never took ownership for an accident that he caused. It's a whole thing. The movie... It's a ride. Pause. Like, it's good. Like, it's a fun one. I'm not shitting on it. My thing, the more film that I watch, which seems to be a lot more these days, which I'm super proud of, my critiques come from the tropes that film hits you over the head with, in lieu of real script writing or character development via the shots that are the scenes and the shots of the film itself. Not to call these films cheap, these projects are extremely expensive, but they're cheap in the sense that they're cutting corners with story driven and script driven narratives. But I don't want to shit on it. It was okay. I am the most excited to see One Battle After Another, the new Paul Thomas Anderson's PTA film with Leo, in an amazing cast, Benicio del Toro and a couple others, Regina Hall and Tiana Taylor. I'm so excited to see that. I haven't seen it yet, but I will probably make my way to the theater this week. Film has become my great escape, and it has been for years, but it's certainly in the recent timeline. Film, I've leaned a lot more on it, losing myself in great art. So A Night Like Tonight, being there with at this Doja Cat event, is an example of that. And I know it's not like a normal thing to be like, oh yeah, I just want to, you know, escape life. Let me go to this one of the most successful pop artists ever's event. But it is nice to just surround yourself with your friends and new people. And just, it was basically a disco, guys. And I haven't, like, disco danced where you're just, like, nonstop rocking and two-stepping. And, you know, there's roses everywhere and you're just kind of having a good time. I haven't had a night like that in quite a while. So it was really fun to kind of let loose in that regard. In local government news, Mayor Adams has officially resigned or pulled out from the race for New York mayor for re-election. To no surprise, people were like, oh my God, he backed out because of funding. He had zero chance of winning. And I'm so happy that this is just making the way for Mamdani to take leadership here in the city. Every piece of content that Mamdani puts out is incredible. And I know being a politician isn't a matter of having great content, but I think people look at how well it's produced and how well it's shot and get lost in the messaging of the content in which he's creating. He's saying some great things, and I really hope that he he's in such an incredible position to change the perception of what it means to be a Muslim or just a person of color in general on a global scale politically. So really excited to see what he accomplishes. The election is coming up. Yes, he does have my vote. And I'm so excited to see how that goes. The UN summit was also here in New York. There was an incredible walkout for Netanyahu's speech at the summit. It's awesome that so many countries were willing to go to the extent of just leaving the floor during that speech. And those that stayed, please take notice. And just also be aware that we are still, whether or not we were in the room for that speech, we are still heavily funding this genocide. And it is our money that is certainly playing the biggest role in this as well. The tide keeps turning. The more that comes out, people are seeing the truth of the matter, which at some point brings me peace. The pain of this is how long it took and the fight that still is happening from the other side to keep blaming that we're hearing the same rhetoric and tropes every single time that these issues come up. But I'm proud to see the fact that the turn is happening lets you know that at their core, people are good. I think people just struggle. I was actually having this conversation this past weekend. I truly believe that people are inherently good and want to see the best for each other. I think what makes it difficult for people to come around to the reality of a situation is coming to terms with to what they believe is wrong. No one wants to be told that they're wrong or misinformed or dumb. And not to say you being misinformed is you being stupid. I think that there is an innocence to acquiring information that may be wrong and believing it because whether that's how the people that your parents got news from or the beliefs that you were passed down. By no means is that an excuse, but I do think that when those moments happen and when you do make the turn, it's a difficult thing to do is when you realize that, damn, I'm 30 years old. And for 30 years, I've thought that this was what the world was. And I'm learning through alternative journalists and people that have lived this situation that I've been told so much about that may not be the case. And coming to terms with that is uncomfortable, and coming to terms with the reality of the situation is supposed to be challenging, but it doesn't mean you should fight it. It means even if you don't agree with it, I'm not even saying you need to agree with it. You should be willing to listen to it and understand it. And that seems to be happening a lot more and more in this country. And I'm saying this as the country seems to be more and more divided than it's ever been. I'm looking on the side of optimism. I'm not focusing on the division. I'm not focusing on the hate. What I want to focus on is the unity. We're all seemingly coming to the middle when it comes to the reality of the Middle East. I think that in itself can be something that awakens this country and unifies people. Sadly, that has to be done at the expense of many innocent people, but if there's one thing that we can take from this, it should be to at least understand historically the accurate recollection of the events that took place to get to the point where we're at, instead of continuing to believe the lies and the propaganda rhetoric that we've been told for years. So I'm standing firm on the fence of optimism. Democracy is young. Who knows how much longer we have left? But I deeply care about the values in which this country was founded on. I truly believe in the principles of democracy, and I want this country to sustain to prove that we're better than those that came before us, and we our single mission is to build a better future, no matter what that looks like. I feel like that recently has been lost on us. So let's restore to the good things. Let's focus on the good. And this is coming from someone that had a very positive weekend. I went to the No Worries show on Friday night with a great group of people. I had a dear friend of mine's girlfriend's birthday party on Saturday night. It was so much fun with an amazing group of people. I met a lot of new friends there and saw some that I was more acquaintances with that I became closer with. And then tonight at this Doja thing, I saw some more of my good friends and met more people. Like, there's a lot of good in this world, and there's a lot of good people in this world. And I've said it on this show, and I'm also living it. Go out in your community, meet more people, get off your phone, fucking leave your phone at home. When's the last time you left your phone at home and went on a walk, or left your phone at home and went to the store? If you're in a city where you drive around, leave your phone at home when you run an errand. Not even anything crazy. And if you're feeling froggy, leave your phone at home during a night out. Like, just disconnect intentionally and plug into your community. That's my goal I've been working on and doing in practice, and I hope that you do the same. Small things. I would say leave your phone at home when you go to the gym, but that's insane. Everybody needs their music when they lift. Speaking of lifting, I do have a workout that I have to get done in a few hours. And I'm playing basketball tonight. Tomorrow technically, but I'm super excited. Second week back from basketball. I came back last week, balled out. Your boy's back. I go to my physical therapist. She tapes me up before the run, and it is it's beautiful. I'm so lucky to be in the situation to get taped and then walk to the gym to play. And then I actually go back the next morning, early Wednesday morning, to get a proper physical therapy session done, like the massage and do some stretching and all that. So I can't complain. Ball is such a major part of my life, and it brings me so much joy, and I'm so happy to be back on the court. So with that, this is episode 37, Something Wrong With The Podcast. I love you all so much. Thank you for rocking with me on this episode, and the few people that were there tonight at the event that said hi, hello, if you're listening. And I will see you all soon. Peace.